This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Today, talking to Ann Tomlinson, Artistic Director of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus. Usually when people describe LA Children's Chorus, they start with the word extraordinary. And Ann has been working with them, I believe, for 19 years now. Is that correct?
I'm starting my 19th year. Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're celebrating with something pretty exciting this summer, July 1st through the 12th. I wish you'd tell me about that.
The choir and I will be heading both to England and to Scotland. And as we've been studying the music of these two countries, we thought it'd be fantastic for the children to actually go to those countries and to learn firsthand the rich tradition that they have of singing together. So we'll be in London and we'll be in Cambridge, and then we'll fly over to Berlin, spend some time in Leipzig. And in Leipzig, we're going to actually visit the church where Johann Sebastian Bach worked, and we'll meet with the current members of the children's chorus that he worked with when he was there, the St. Thomas Boys Choir, and we'll be in a rehearsal with them and sing a performance in the church where Bach was organist choir master. And we also have some great friends in Berlin. The current U.S. ambassador to Berlin is John Emerson. His daughters were all members of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, so we're going to have a wonderful visit to the embassy and to see our friends, the Emerson girls, and then we'll head back to Pasadena for our experience at the Hollywood Bowl.
What a wonderful time that's going to be, especially with the alumni of the Children's Chorus.
It will be a great experience to see. In fact, now as we travel, as the chorus has become a little bit older, we find many alumni all over the world. They often come to our concerts, and it's fantastic to see how their lives have been impacted by our program, and wonderful for them to get to know the current members of the chorus and inspire them to keep at those long rehearsals so that they too will enjoy the full experience.
I had wondered, as the young people get older and they're going progressively on in the choirs, seven choirs with LA Children's Chorus, what kind of work are we talking about?
The alumni head into all different directions in their lives.
Actually, I really meant as you get a child, let's say you get a child 6 years old, and then she goes on to the next choir, then she gets promoted. How is her time commitment and work commitment increasing as she continues with Los Angeles Children's Chorus?
Well, our youngest children, who are ages 6 to 8, are with us for just 45 minutes a week in a classroom setting where they have a lot of activities. It's sort of singing, and emphasis is placed on having a lot of fun and just beginning to learn how to use their voice. They'll then move into our audition program, where they're with us just about an hour, maybe an hour and a half a week. By the time they're in the intermediate chorus, they're with us 2.5 hours a week. Concert choir commitment is a little bit more extensive. It's 3.5 hours a week and one Saturday a month. And the young men are with us for about 2.5 hours a week as well. So it doesn't increase, but they find it becomes so meaningful that they enjoy getting together. They make good friends there, and they sound more beautiful each time they're together. So it's quite inspiring.
They certainly do sound beautiful. I was listening to them singing from South Africa on YouTube prior to our conversation, and this was great.
South Africa was a remarkable experience. Again, we'd studied some repertoire from that country and studied some of the changes in the political environment there, and certainly the amazing work of Nelson Mandela. So throughout Johannesburg, Cape Town, all the wonderful cities we visited, we found people who sang and sang and sang and were so hospitable to the children.
What's a similar experience that you had in the kind of trip like you're going to be taking in July, where you saw the light go on for one of the children, where you went to Germany, you went to England?
Well, I'll never forget taking the children into Westminster Abbey, and they had learned a piece by Henry Purcell, and here they see the sarcophagus of Henry Purcell, and they realize these people actually existed and had an amazing artistic life within the space that we're currently walking. Being in Los Angeles, I think there's a wonderful choral tradition here, but it's a new country and a new state. In England, there's been a rich choral tradition for over 500 years, and I think the children really appreciated how they're connected, and they stand in support of that long tradition.
Bringing it to life has to be pretty exciting.
It was pretty exciting to see them just claim and understand how important it is to not only look ahead, as our culture does so well, but also to look back and to learn from those who've been before us.
What I really like about that is I remember when we had history lessons, it was like, what does this have to do with me? Now you're showing these young people exactly what it does have to do with what they're going to sing today.
Absolutely, that they can think that a chorister 400 years ago sang the very same piece that they're singing today and maybe even stood right there on the steps of the Abbey and sang that amazing work.
How do you select the young people who are going to be going with you overseas?
Well, they do need to be with us for a number of years, and with each choir, we try to have some sort of travel experience. So the younger choirs have a day trip on a bus just to see how that works out for them. Our intermediate choristers travel over a weekend somewhere in the western United States. So we really want to build children who have an understanding of travel and set up a sequential program of travel so that they're successful by the time they head off for a 12-day trip to abroad or throughout the country as well. And we invite them all. We think it's important for every child to travel. So, and we work very hard to make it possible for each child who would like to go to join us for the trip.
I'm just imagining the kind of memories when these children get to be 20 years old that they're going to have.
When we get all our alums back together, which we do a couple times a year, it seems that most of their memories are center on the touring experiences. They remember those experiences very, very fondly and very deeply. And some stories of beautiful performances, some funny stories about coming across things that were a little bit unexpected. But just, I think it opens their world so extensively that it makes a strong impact.
What's one of your favorite funny, unexpected stories that the alums tell from traveling?
Oh, probably, it's usually related to food, I think. Mm-hmm. Eastern Europe, we were at a summer camp with the Prague Symphonic Children's Chorus, and we had a wonderful time singing with them. But the food was another story. They served us meatball stew, but the meat was made out of liver, and it was something that we don't often eat here, and the Czech Children's Chorus was eating that up profoundly, and we found that a little bit more difficult to do. But right after dinner one night, we decided that we'd play a game, we'd have a little challenge of a soccer game. And at that time in Prague, only boys were allowed to play soccer. So this was in the maybe late 90s. But our team, of course, had some girls and some boys. And so the Prague Children's Chorus came out and thought, oh, they have girls. Well, this is no problem. We'll beat them handily. Well, of course, on came the game. And the goal was scored by the Prague choir first, I think, and then we scored a goal by one of our boys, and the next goal LACC scored, and it was by a girl, and she scored the winning goal for LACC. So now girls in Prague and all over Europe play soccer, so I don't know if LACC can claim that we changed the soccer world for girls in Europe, but we played a little part in it, I think.
Thank goodness she played like a girl. I don't want to forget to ask you about the Hollywood Bowl concert, July 27th, too, the Pagliacci performance that the children are doing. What exactly do you tell them about an opera?
Oh, it's wonderful to introduce children to opera. Many of them haven't had the opportunity of learning about them. So we talk about how they get to tell a story through their songs. And when we perform with LACC, most of our pieces are about 3 or 4 minutes long. Here's an opera that's much more extensive, so they can really enjoy how a story unfolds and develops. They get to sing with an orchestra, which is phenomenal, and of course the LA Philharmonic is brilliant, with adult singers who take the leads and sing the principal role, so they get to hear fantastic vocal models and singers. Working with Gustavo Dudamel, they just love. He's such a brilliant artist and brings so much understanding and depth and commitment and passion to his music making. And they learn, especially in this opera, how children would celebrate a Sunday afternoon in a plaza in Italy. So we travel through opera to other parts of the world as well.
And you take them their imagination. It's Sunday. They're in Italy. They're having a nice time, probably in the center plaza.
Warm afternoon. This little company of artists, like a little tiny circus has come to entertain them. There's a clown. Pagliacci translates as clown. So they really can see this whole scene come to life and to be a part of just the exuberance of a small little Italian town having a special artistic visit.
You do something that I think would be very important to a lot of parents that are listening. You do an outreach to schools. Before we completely run out of time, I would love for you to give me an update on where that's gone for LA Children's Chorus.
We're very thrilled. We've partnered with several schools in the Pasadena School District. We're currently very involved at Webster Elementary School in an after-school program that we provide free to any child who would like to have that experience. And again, it's a 45-minute class that's structured for them to have complete enjoyment while they explore their voice. And it's been a very important experience. Some children have found that they love it so much that they come to be a part of our core program and audition for our program. And but we're serving children where they live, in their environment, in their context, and we hope only to be able to expand that program in the future.
Please give me an update on that, because people would really like to know.
Absolutely.
I understand that you are doing auditions fairly soon as well.
In early June, June 5th through the 8th, we'll look forward to meeting many new young children who think this might be just a wonderful experience and enjoy these performances and learning about their voice and the travel opportunities as well. The auditions we try to make as stress-free as possible. We have children come together in groups of five or six, so they all sing together first. Then we hear them individually, but every skill we ask them to do is prepared. We teach it, and then they sing back. And many of them say, oh, that wasn't so hard by the time they finish, so that's really remarkable.
I'm hearing that you get them to have fun as they're auditioning.
We use it as a time to kind of explore our voices, and we ask them, do you think there's anyone in the world that has a perfect voice? And of course, no one has a perfect voice. And we're not looking for perfect. We're looking for children eager to learn. So that's one of our main goals, and it's a lot of fun.
And thank you for your time today.
It's been wonderful. Thank you for having me, Dawn.